The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. We'll talk to Blake Topmeyer in a couple of minutes. He covers the SEC. Like none of us do. And we'll get to your phone calls as well at 855-242-7285. Mark Schlabaugh, a little bit later on. He's out with the brand new post-spring top 25. And Oklahoma is not the number one team in the country, according to Schlabaugh. He will be here in a few minutes. Let's take a look at what the top 25 appears to be. Oklahoma at number one, Alabama number two, Georgia three, Clemson, Ohio State, Iowa State six, A&M seven, North Carolina eight, Cincinnati nine, Oregon 10. Turn the page and you will see a couple of SEC schools, including Florida at 17. It's 11 Indiana, Notre Dame, Southern Cal 13, Iowa 14, Washington, Lafayette ahead of LSU. How about that? Gators at 17, Wisconsin, Ole Miss at 19, LSU at 20. And five more schools make up the top 25. Coastal, Texas, Penn State, Auburn's second week opponent, Arizona State, and Miami, which takes on Alabama week one in Atlanta. So let's get back to the calls and check out Mike, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Mike, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Paul. I'd like to talk about Tim Tebow for just a brief moment, if I may.
If
I was married to Miss Universe, I would not risk getting hurt, Paul. Have a good day, brother.
Platypus is up next in Pittsburgh. How are you, Platypus? Good afternoon.
Hey, I'm doing very well. Getting rained on, but all's well. So I wanted I had a draft question, but a kind of an odd question for you. So when you sit back, Paul Feinbaum, in your ivory tower to watch the NFL draft, as a company man, do you watch the ABC broadcast with the College Football Game Day crew, or do you watch the ESPN NFL analyst crew?
This past week I watched the ESPN broadcast, primarily because I've worked with, I know all those guys, but I work with Greeny so much. And I was so delighted to see him get that gig. So I wanted to see how he was doing and texted him a few times. And I thought he was spectacular.
Yeah, nice. Okay, I just want to know. I do like Greeny, but I got to watch ABC. I really do miss the College Game Day crew. I really enjoy watching that. But with that being said, good old Lee Corso, he almost retired a couple of years ago, but he's still doing it from his house in Florida, whatnot. But when he does call it quits, have you talked to the producers? Who's actually going to replace him putting on the headgear? And are you going to be in that conversation? You'd be towards the top of my list to do that Lee Corso job.
Platypus, I think the answer to your question is nobody is going to be able to do it because, Lee did that from the beginning. It was so unique. It's still unique. I will tell you a quick story, and some of you may have heard this before. Sometimes you're on the air all the time. You forget what you've said. But I was hired 8 years ago, exactly around now, to work for ESPN, primarily to do what I'm doing here on the SEC Network and also to be on the SEC Nation Show. But so... I started in the middle of the summer, and I got a call from the head of game day saying, hey, by the way, you just relocated. I was in Charlotte, and he said, any chance you could drive over to Clemson on the first weekend because Georgia's playing Clemson. It was 2013. And I'm thinking, yeah, I think I could, I mean, to be on College Game Day. And anyway, it turned out I ended up doing the show the entire year. and then moved over to the SEC Network. But here's the story. The first, so I'm there on the set. I mean, I can imagine pretty nervous being on game day for the first time before I really did anything else at ESPN. And when it came down to the end of the show, you're not supposed to act like, you're supposed to act like you've been there before. But even though I had nothing to do with the end of the show, I kind of hung around the stage because I had to see the headgear thing for myself. And I kept having friends text me like, who is Corso going to pick? And finally, a guy walked past me. I was kind of hanging around right near the steps. And a guy walked past me carrying a bulldog puppy. And at that point, I realized Lee was going to pick the dogs to beat Clemson. He was wrong, by the way. But it was one of the most exciting things I've ever done, to watch it from the stage. And it's a long story to answer your question. I don't think he can be replaced.
Yeah, that's valid. Yeah, you probably would get death threats if you ever put Brutus on or some other non-SEC team head mask on. But thanks for sharing your story. And I've been to College Game Day twice. I saw Lee Corso put on the duck hat twice.
But beside Platypus, I don't think, I mean, even though it's a multi-billion dollar company, I don't think they could afford the security for me if I ever had to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, all you gotta do is put on that little M hat and some sunshade, some Ray-Bans, and you fit right
man,
in.
Man, would I love to pick against Jim Harbaugh at the Big House.
And don't forget your khakis.
Exactly. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Let's talk to Ed next in South Carolina. Hello, Ed. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I just have a question for you. I figure if anybody would have the answer, you would have it.
Sure.
Do you have any idea, have you heard the number of players that left school early for the NFL draft that were not drafted?
Wow, what a great question. I don't have the answer, but I think I know some people that could look it up for us. We'll see if we can find that out. That would be very interesting. I'm willing to bet it's probably a large number.
I'm afraid it would be. I'm afraid so. Going to be a lot of feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Hurt.
Yeah, we had, I think it was Ross Dellinger talked about yesterday, or somebody yesterday talked about the massive number of people in the transfer portal that, this is a different question, but have no chance of landing a spot anywhere. There's just too many people that think they can move from one place to the next.
Exactly right. Well, I appreciate you doing what you can for me.
Thank you. We'll get your name.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Nice of you to call. Thank you. Let's go to Austin, Texas. Hello, Manolo. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I was just wondering, AMC should be one of the best in the nation again next year. Does the offense take the next step with Haynes King and allow them to challenge Alabama for that SEC championship?
I think so. I'm not as confident. Tell me about Haynes King. What have you seen of him?
I liked him in the spring game. I think he brings a good dynamic that Kellen Mond also brought with the run game and the possible using him in QB draw situations, short yardage, stuff like that. Do you think his run game and his mobility allows the offense to be at the same level it was last year?
Yeah, I don't know enough based on what I've seen to really give you a clear answer. I thought Kellen Mond was spectacular at times. I think at other times he could be bewildering, but ultimately he saved the best for last. But I think A&M will be in good shape. I do think the Alabama game is a potential win. I think they win the first five. I think their schedule is reasonably favorable at the beginning, and then it gets tricky with Alabama, Missouri, at Ole Miss, at LSU. I see some danger in the second half of the season, but I think they'll be undefeated going that Alabama game. I mean, you could have it could be insane with two undefeated teams.
I also wanted to talk to you about one weakness that A&M did have last year was their vertical threat with their wide receivers. Do you think that can be solved this year?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. But I need to see more out of the new quarterback. Lori is up next in Texas. Hello, Lori. Good afternoon.
Hello. I just want to say how much I love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you for so much for bringing it to America.
Well, thank you very much, Lori. Appreciate it. That's very nice of you to say. We are heading to a break. We have Blake Topmeyer joining us in a minute. He has covered the Vols for a long time. He now covers the SEC. We'll get his knowledge on both subjects when the USA Today reporter and columnist comes in here next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. It's always great to welcome one of our favorite guests. He is Blake Topmeyer, who for many, many years covered the Vols for the Knoxville News Sentinel. He has been elevated to a columnist position covering the SEC for the USA Today Network. And it's always good to have you back here on the show. A lot of questions, Blake, but I was really struck by a column I read from you the other day because, you know, we're talking about so many big issues here in college football, from the transfer portal to the CFP expansion to NIL, the Austin case. And it seems like every time you talk about any of those, the most influential man in the world of intercollegiate athletics comes up, who is Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC. And you wrote about the commissioner Sankey the other day, but not in the conventional sense. You talked about his desire to think and solve problems while running every day. Good afternoon, Blake. Tell us all about it.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Greg Sankey, as of at least a couple days ago, had a streak going. I guess it's still going. He's run 35 minutes per day at a minimum for now. Something getting close to, I think, 390 consecutive days. The streak started last April the streak started as the pandemic was kind of getting rolling. Greg Sankey is kind of a fitness aficionado, I guess you'd say, and did the functional fitness, the CrossFit type fitness, but then his gym shut down, you know, as many gyms did last spring during the pandemic. So he got into running, which he did. He's done a lot of marathons, as I think you probably know, Paul, in his life, but he'd gotten away from running in more recent years, but shifted back to it here throughout the pandemic, He's loving it and says it gives him some time to think and think through SEC policy at times on these runs.
I mean, I got the impression from reading the column that, you know, there's some really important thoughts. When I run, I'm listening to rock music or something. I'm not really trying to solve anything other than to maybe try to get through the end of the run without passing out. But it sounds like he really used this not only as something that, you know, obviously made him, you know, healthier and feeling a lot better, but it seems like some of the bigger issues, especially last summer when college football was in peril, he was able to at least figure some things out, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's one thing Greg mentioned is you probably remember there was some debate about when voluntary on-campus workouts would resume last summer. And of course, that seems like however many problems ago now, but that was a big conversation at the time. Like, when was the right time to resume these voluntary workouts? And, you know, in talking with Greg Sankey about that, he mentioned that the answer came to him during one of these runs. You know, you had some SEC athletic directors who wanted June 1st. You had some who wanted June 30th. You had others who wanted an altogether different date. And Sankey settled on June 8th during that run. And afterwards, you know, relayed that decision. He also talked about, we talked about the day the streak almost ended. And he said it was August 10th, I believe it was. It was a Monday, a couple days after the Mid-American Conference had announced that they were moving their fall sports season to the spring, and Greg Sankey expected the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to follow suit. And so he said that was the day that his streak of running 35 minutes per day here nearly ended, and he did kind of have to cheat that day, and he split up his 35 minutes into two separate runs, but he was able to get his 35 minutes in that day and keep it rolling. So yeah, it was really interesting. You know, I knew he was someone that values physical fitness, you know, just talking to him about how important that was to gain some peace of mind, and you know, we all know those people that fitness are important to them, and when you take away their gym routine, that really throws it for a loop. And so yeah, Greg Sankey got back into running when his gym closed.
Yeah, I don't know what Kirby Smart's regimen is every day, but you wrote about him recently as well. And as good as he has been, there may still be work to do based on what we saw last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Cleveland. What did you glean from diving deep into Kirby Smart's career?
You know, it's interesting because I think, you know, there's a few different ways to evaluate how well someone's doing with a program. I mean, obviously the easiest is you look at what the product is on the field. But then the other two avenues, I think you look at what someone's doing on the recruiting trail. And I think in that area, you've really seen Kirby Smart close the gap with Alabama in recruiting. I mean, you look at throughout the last 5 years, I believe, depending on what ranking service you use, Georgia has topped the charts a couple years, and Alabama has topped the charts in the other 3 years. But, you know, before Kirby was there, Georgia had lagged behind Alabama pretty significantly in recruiting, was still producing a lot of top 15 classes.
Yeah, for some reason I was deep into Blake's story. Is Blake still there? Does anyone know? I don't. For some reason we lost Blake. I was checking if my wire had come undone, but apparently, we'll figure that out. Cause
I'm back with you, Paul.
Okay, good, Blake. You were. I don't know if this was a Dan Mullen plot to, for us not to hear what you were saying about Kirby Smart or what, but pick it back up.
Yeah, I was saying, you know, Kirby's really closed the gap when it comes to recruiting. It closed the gap with Alabama, and you've seen them in recent years really duke it out with Alabama in recruiting. But the other way to evaluate the stride someone's making in a program is you look at the NFL draft. And, you know, Georgia set a program record this year with nine players drafted. But when you really break it down further and look at where those guys are going as compared to where Alabama guys are going, you know, Alabama had eight guys drafted in the first 40 picks, six of those guys in the first round. You look at Georgia, of their nine draftees, you had three of them go in rounds one or two, three of them in the first 50 picks. And so Kirby's making strides there in terms of sending talent on to the NFL, but you haven't seen the gains in quite the same way that you've seen him make in recruiting. I mean, in recruiting, I'd say the gap is closed. I mean, Georgia's right there. You can count, you can pencil them in for top five recruiting classes now, something you couldn't say during the Mark Richt era. It was more in the top 15 range. But still, when it comes to sending guys on to the NFL, which I think is the other area that you can really evaluate what someone's doing with the program, I don't think Kirby's there yet in closing that gap with Alabama, particularly when you look at quarterbacks now. I mean, Alabama has, like, added the missing piece, right? I mean, for years they were winning without dominant quarterbacks. Now they're sending on first-round quarterback talent, and we haven't seen that, you know, when it comes to Georgia.
Blake, your former beat, the Tennessee Vols, is something that we can't escape here. We always get calls about Josh Heupel. It feels like things are going fairly well, but we don't know very much. You live there. What do you see? What do you hear?
Well, I thought it was encouraging from the spring game. Not that you can read too much into spring games, but I thought the offensive improvement was encouraging, particularly from quarterbacks. You know, that's been such a bugaboo position for Tennessee the last few years. I think they have options there, which is more than you can say in the past several seasons. I don't know that they have their bona fide starter, but they have an abundance of options. Harrison Bailey played really well in the spring game, and I think, you know, reasserted himself in that quarterback conversation. And in Hooker, I think is still the front runner, the graduate transfer from Virginia Tech. But the competition got even more interesting here recently with Tennessee picking up Joe Milton, the transfer quarterback from Michigan. We saw Milton last year was pretty up and down at Michigan, but he does have a very big arm. And if we can remember with Josh Heupel and Drew Locke during Heupel's years as offensive coordinator at Missouri, Heupel does like those really big arm quarterbacks, those guys that can stretch the field. You know, people think about Heupel being so much of an RPO guy, the quick stuff, but that's really only part of the story. He likes those guys that can throw it deep. So I think Milton is going to be a factor in this quarterback conversation. My bigger question for Tennessee is just how troublesome is this defense going to be? Because as we saw in the spring game, and as I think we expected, Tennessee's got a lot of warts on that defense. And their depth is pretty limited, particularly in the front seven. And they've tried to address that through the transfer portal, but there's only so much you can do there. And I think it's going to be playing a little bit with one hand behind your back this season for Tennessee when it comes to the limitations they have on defense.
Blake, I know it's become somewhat prosaic to ask the same question to you every time we talk to you, but it's still out there. What's going on with the NCAA investigation into Pruitt?
I knew this was coming, Paul, and I wish I had something new to tell you, but it's really kind of the status quo. I mean, this Tennessee, to my understanding, has not wrapped up its portion of the investigation, and even when it does, and I think that'll probably happen this spring, but even when Tennessee is completed with its leg, then it's still in the NCAA's hands, which I think will probably take many, many more months. So it's one of those hurry up and wait situations, you know, and I think everybody would like this over as soon as possible. I think from Tennessee's perspective, they feel like they have pretty good ground to say to the NCAA, like, let's speed this along because of the cooperation Tennessee has put forward here. But, you know, we see time and time again, the NCAA does not move fast in these cases. So I think it's certainly going to be a point of frustration for Vols fans, and for the coaches and administrators. Like, I think everybody involved wants to know what the punishment's going to be, deal with it, and move forward. But, you know, I still think we're probably several months out from reaching that point. And so, yeah, we're going to be in this holding pattern for a while.
Okay, I will not ask you anymore. Just call me when you hear something, okay?
No, it's fair game, and I wish I had something more to tell. But you know how it goes. Like, you get a little information at the start of these investigations, which we did, and then it kind of goes quiet for the longest time, and it gets frustrating really from every avenue, because everybody wants these things finished in as quick of manner as possible, and it's just never the way it happens. And then you see the punishment come down years later. When the involved parties normally are no longer there, which is going to be the case here at Tennessee.
Blake Topmeyer, always fantastic to have you with us. Come back and be well. Thanks so much, Blake.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Paul.
Great stuff. Always one of our favorite guests from Knoxville, the SEC reporter columnist now for the USA Today Networks. We have Mark Slaball a little bit later on. He did this post-spring poll that has Oklahoma number one. Brandon Marcello later on. Don't forget tomorrow, a number of the coaches from the SEC and celebrities from around will join us live from the region's tradition. We are back with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back. There are some breaking news on the name, image, and likeness situation. Remember, a week ago, we heard from the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. Today, Brian Kemp, governor of Georgia, has done the same thing. According to Steve Berkowitz, he announced a minute ago that he will sign the bill at the University of Georgia. Of course, he is a graduate of UGA. You may remember about a year ago, Governor Kemp was on our program and primarily wanted to talk about the dogs. This bill puts Georgia alongside Florida, Mississippi, and Alabama, states with SEC schools that will have NIL laws taking effect July 1st. Now, what does all this mean? We don't know, because if Congress does not enact a uniform legislation, there could be litigation. Nobody really knows, but it's still significant that a state as important as Georgia has moved forward. Let's get back to the calls. And Ronald is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Ronald.
Powell, I just want you to know it's an honor and a privilege to always talk to you.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, I still play records, but I just wonder, when was the last time Kentucky beat Tennessee in football that the Tennessee football coach didn't come back for the following year? We know it didn't happen with Pruitt.
No, I'm trying to remember. You know, Tennessee's had so many coaches fired. Butch Jones, Derek Dooley, and so, I mean, I think it's happened. I remember a time when, I can't remember where I was, about 10, 15, 20 years ago, when Kentucky beat Tennessee for the first time in about 30 years. So,
were you there?
No, I was not at that game.
You know, I know Kentucky fans is different than the other 13 teams, but we ain't got nothing else to look forward to. You know, Kentucky fans is different. We really are. But I just wonder, do you know the coach that didn't come back for the following year?
I tell you what, Ron, I will see if I can find that out, okay? Thank you for the question, and thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, thank you, and you're my favorite.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Good to talk to you. We'll talk again. How about Wayne in South Carolina? Hello, Wayne. Well, let me hit another button. I got a... Yeah, there you go. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
I'm well. Thank you.
Yeah, driving around in Charlotte instead of Alabama. Before I start my rant, that was bad news to hear about Coach Dooley getting a skybox, but that's one of the things we always wish for. And, you know, when you're in high school and you're playing ball and you get a little bit of ink on Saturday from some sports writer, that's a big deal. And then Sunday, you get some more ink on the college team that you're rooting for. That's what football's all about. It's different all over the United States. I've been blessed to go to all those places. And as far as the likeness, I was excited when I talked to you between jobs and you were going up to Charlotte. I haven't made a dollar on my Paul Feinbaum likeness. I've tried T-shirts. I've tried hats. I've tried visors. And there's no money, you know.
No, I tell you, if you're trying to get rich off of, there is simply Tebow likeness, maybe others, but if you're trying to get rich off of a facsimile of me, you are more likely to be bankrupt.
All right, I want to get into the NCAA. And
okay.
Before I say anything about the NCAA, I wanted to describe high school, college, different parts of the United States. And to the high school kids, cheerleaders, band, and all that missed out last year in the pandemic, my condolences. But I believe in fellowship, leadership, championship, and I don't know where the NCAA is on that. I mean, you went from print to where you are today. We can listen and watch games in the Northwest. We can get high school games. But the NCAA, they're in a cave. What did they do last year as far as leadership? You know, the number of deaths from COVID and blah, blah. We were lucky to have a season. And I know this is a touchy subject, but, you know, when you're on a box of Wheaties, you win a gold medal, and you're transgender and you speak out about something, I believe that guy or lady has the right to do that. You know, he's been on both sides of the fence. And you can't rule a lot of issues nationwide when it's different in regions. Because I know in Ohio, Saturday's a big time for a football game. And Texas is always crazy. But they really need to get their act together. And where do they get their money from up there? I mean, those are some overpaid. If they do an investigation, you'll find out about it 2 years later. And I want to ask you one personal question.
Okay.
Did you ever think that you could write the comedy and drama that takes place in the SEC? The coaches, motorcycles, gambling. Lane Kip, I could just go on. It's like the days of our lives, and I'm glad that you bring on writers and different guests. And if Tim Tebow never did another thing, he was a good sportsmanship individual for those young kids that look up to people in order to have some value. I've listened to you. God, I had to hunt you up on a station and go on some kind of website back in the olden days. But I told you when you came to Charlotte, life would be better. But I haven't made a dime, not a nickel, from a Paul Feinbaum likeness. Thank you for the time, Paul. Have a blessed day.
Hey, thank you, Wayne. Great to hear from you. It's a pleasure. let us continue. And Tom is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Paul. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I have a question for you. I'm not sure I understand the portal. I realize, let's say I'm a coach in one of the SEC, any of the schools, and I've got five players that go into the portal. Do they lose their scholarships? I know they will if they're picked somewhere, but if they don't want to play, they've gotten in the portal, they feel like they can do better elsewhere. Do they lose their scholarships by going in the portal?
I believe. Let me make sure I get this correct. So if you, I think once you leave a school, you're done.
What if they don't get picked?
Let me defer to somebody else because I'm not 100% sure. I don't think you do, but I want to make sure I answer that correctly. It seems like if you petition to go into the port, I guess you can come back. I am not sure I know the answer.
Okay. I'd like to know that, but it's still, I'm a coach in one of these schools, and I got five boys that don't want to play for me. That's my mindset right now. I don't want them on the team. I've got five walk-ons who I'd rather have, and the walk-ons don't have scholarships. I'd love to take those five scholarships, say, boys, you're in the portal, you've lost your scholarships.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the way it ought to be. I mean, if you decide you want to go somewhere else, you ought to be gone.
Well, I understand that, but the question is, once they hit the portal, I don't want them.
No, that's it. Yeah, no,
I'm back to Congress for them, and that's easy to say, to come back to me and just say, hey, I've made a big mistake. I should have stayed with you, coach, and the other coaches. They're really talking to all the coaches. If they don't like one, they don't like them, probably most of them. But anyway, I just feel for the coaches out there. That doesn't seem right because they work to get them in there. But I do think they should have a right to leave if they want to, and they want to go to the portal, that's fine. But at that point, they lose their scholarship, and they should.
Okay, Tom, I'll get you a specific answer on that in a minute. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We're up against a break. More of your phone calls, 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, we are back. Stephen is up next in Georgia. Stephen, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I wanted to let you know that I'm lucky enough to work for Reynolds Lake Oconee. We had the Peach Bowl golf tournament there last couple of days.
Oh, how cool.
And we had a lot of SEC coaches.
Tell us what you can.
It is. Well, I will. I will tell you that first guy out on the driving range, Sam Pittman.
Wow.
So he was getting ready.
So this is at Reynolds and, Plantation, is that right?
Well, it's not Plantation anymore. Reynolds Lake Oconee, and my course is the Oconee course.
Yeah.
And I am in horticulture.
Okay.
And we had, Randy Edsall was there from UConn, Dave Doran from NC State, Manny Diaz from Miami, Coach Collins from Georgia Tech. There was this vaguely familiar guy from that's now at Central Florida.
I bet. Gus.
That I think many of you, yeah, but I saw Bobby Johnson. We had Beamer and Beamer, and I was so, and I happened to be a Gamecock. I'll go ahead and tell you that. And I was, this is the first time I had an opportunity to meet Shane Beamer, and he was great, and I've got a scholarship sticker on my cart that I drive around the Oconee course every day, and he was playing with his dad, and you could see the pride in his dad's face. His dad was very happy to be with him.
That is great.
It absolutely is, and I know you've talked with Shane a couple of times, and probably Frank as well, but Dan Mullen was there playing with Spurrier. And got a great chance to talk to both of to Jerry and Steve Spurrier, and I've told this a couple of times. Spurrier may be the HBC, but I'm the branch manager. I pick up all the branches that fall off on the golf course. And what I really wanted to do, and the point I wanted to make, is I was able to talk to Jerry and Steve and thank them for all they did for my university when they came. They changed everything, and you know, we're so grateful for that. And
I will say this: you meet people in life, Stephen, and some people really stick with you. And I think Jerry Spurrier is one of the greatest people I've ever met. She is a big reason for his success.
I think you're right. And I told her that. I said, when you and your husband came to Columbia, you changed everything. And I remember seeing her, jogging around the campus and, the stories about her baking cookies for the players and just fabulous. And saw her, walking the course for the 2 days was fabulous. Just a couple of, things too is that, I've been in the Gamecock Club as long as Shane Beamer's been alive.
And that's amazing.
It's incredible for me. Yeah, I just had my 65th birthday, and this is kind of my retirement job. As I work, like I said, I work in horticulture, and I'm on the fringes of the golf course, and it's just a beautiful place to be. We have a beautiful course,
we're about to run out of time. But thank you so much. I've stayed at that hotel there, and it is fantastic. I was only there for a couple hours, we are going to take a break. Thanks for the update. That was really interesting. Mark Slaball joining us next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.